you hate government, one of them libertarian types, or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers. Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. It's my show, Scott Horton Show. And next up on the show today is our friend Steven Zunis. And this is funny. I just realized I'd lost the link. So I hit search site on antiwar.com for Zunis and Hillary, and I got 2,930 results. Welcome back to the show. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, thanks.
Yeah, the first few here are Hillary on Iraq, Hillary's Iraq lies, Hillary's nightmare, Hillary a proven warmonger, Hillary's a liberal belligerent, the troubling implication of Hillary, the five lamest excuses for Hillary Clinton's vote to invade Iraq. This is the one I was looking for.
That's my latest one, yeah.
You must be some kind of right-wing Donald Trump-loving extremist to attack Hillary Clinton like this, huh, Stephen?
It's funny. I'm actually a registered Democrat. I think we're overdue for a female president, and I think she'd be less bad than virtually all of the Republican contenders. But having said all that, I do think it would be very dangerous, frankly, to have her as president. First and foremost, I think is illustrated by her vote to authorize the invasion of Iraq. And it's been interesting to hear a lot of otherwise, you know, liberal on foreign policy, you know, people whose issue by issue would be closer to, you know, Sanders or O'Malley or Rand Paul, for that matter, on foreign policy issues, bend over backwards to try to rationalize and justify her vote to authorize the war.
Yeah, it really is sad and amazing. And, you know, the biggest thing, of course, is just the attempt to ignore it. It's the same thing with Obama's foreign policy this whole time is, you know, the entire partisan dynamic has really been working against us since the right doesn't want to give him up.
As you know, and I've been quite critical of many aspects of Obama's foreign policy. We've talked about it on this show a number of times before.
Sure.
But, you know, Hillary has been criticizing Obama from a more hawkish position. You know, under Obama, we have bombed seven countries in the greater Middle East. And she says, we need to reassert ourselves militarily in the region. She's been criticizing Obama for not being tough enough. And so that kind of gives you an idea of what we can expect in a Hillary Clinton administration.
Yeah. Well, now, I was actually pretty surprised when she attacked Sanders for being weak on Iran in January of 2016, right, you know, what, 4 or 5 days after Implementation Day? And not only all the liberals celebrating, what, the one or second good thing that Obama had ever done was getting this Iran deal done. They were in the middle of defending it from the right. And then Sanders, he didn't say, like, yes, let's invite the Ayatollah to dinner. He said, no, we should not open an embassy there tomorrow. But, yeah, should we tend toward normalizing relations? I think that's reasonable or something like that. And she went right after him. And I guess I don't know if there was a poll number drop correlation to go along with that. But that seemed to me to be really lousy politics for a Democratic primary
really,
season.
I think she's having a risk of attacking him the way she's doing. It's going to sort of expose to a lot of potential supporters where she's really coming from. I mean, Iran, you know, Iran is a horrible, oppressive, theocratic government. But the Islamic Republic has been in existence, you know, for, nearly 40 years now. And, you know, they are whether you like it or not, a major, international player. They're a middle power. And just recognizing that reality, you know, seems to be, pretty reasonable. But, you know, she's just kind of, you know, jumping. You know, so she's finding, you know, whatever she can, you know, to fire at him. And, of course, it's important to remember that she supported the Kyle Lieberman Amendment on Iran, which many people interpret, and she was the senator, but many people interpret it as a call for war against that country. And, you know, she's been, you know, really, even though she kind of reluctantly went around supporting the Iran deal, she's been bending over backwards to try to, push her kind of a hawkish line. And I think you saw that incident where they had about a bunch of State Department, Defense Department, former State Department, Defense Department officials talk about how Obama's or that Sanders is weak on defense. We need some experience by Hillary Clinton. They criticize Sanders' call for cutting military spending and the like. And ends up over half of the people who signed that letter have ties to military contractors.
Yeah. It's just, I can understand her trying to cover her right flank in a general election. But I mean, this is just, you know, presidential politics, not even 101. This is, you can't even get into the door to room, you know, to, I don't mean room 101. That's different. You can't get into politics 101 without understanding. You run to the left in the primary and to the center in the general if you're a Democrat. You run to the right in the primary, to the center in the general if you're a Republican. That's just how it goes, you know? I mean, for her to attack from the right, never even mind what's right and wrong or what's true. It just seems like really, like, completely tone-deaf kind of politics on her part. But anyway, so let's get back to 2002, because I think this is a very important point that you're making here, and I'll use my words instead of yours here, that she did not make a mistake when she voted for this war. It was a cynical calculation of what she thought was good for her. And John Kerry and Joe Biden made the same calculation that they were not going to screw up and make the same mistake they did in 1991 and vote against a war against Iraq, which made them look like a bunch of sissies. And this time, George Bush was so sure that this is going to be great, they calculated that they would go with the mood of the bandwagon for the war and get on it for their own gain, and if all the Iraqi people got to lay down and die or get exploded to death, more likely, they don't care. And that was why she voted for the war.
And the irony that I point out is this is an excuse that people use for her. Oh, she's not really this right-wing militarist who says to hell with the UN Charter and the Nuremberg principles, and let's have aggressive war, and let us have these endless foreign military interventions. No, she just did it, you know, for political purposes. So you're telling me that a reason to vote for someone is that you voted to send 4,500 Americans and hundreds of thousands of Iraqis to their deaths, destabilize the Middle East. Yes, huge reason we have such a enormous federal deficit and the cost of this war. And you see, that's a reason for voting for her? You know, come on. and of course, it backfired. In that she lost the race for the nomination in 2008. Largely because Obama had spoken out very forcefully against the war, and she had been just doing the Bush-Cheney talking points. The Clinton people are sort of hoping that maybe they'll forget it so many years later. But you know, we got to say we can't forget this. We can't forgive this. Mm-hmm. Again, this is I in this article I go down a number of other points. The one is that everybody supported it. That's not true. The majority of congressional Democrats voted against it. If the Democrats who had controlled the Senate at that time, not across the aisle to support Bush, we could have prevented this war. Mm-hmm. This was not just a mistake. This wasn't like the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution 1964, which got us into Vietnam, where there was no time for debate, no time for reflection. People thought they were just voting to give President Johnson the right to retaliate for a specific alleged incident, which never actually happened, in the Gulf of Tonkin, and that he instead used as an open-ended authorization to get us heavily involved in that tragic war. She knew what was going on. People told her, people briefed her, and here's the thing. She had voted for it, thinking it would enhance her political electability. She would have had to have assumed that we would be welcomed as liberators. We would find all those weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al Qaeda, she said we had. We would not be bogged down in this long bloody and counterinsurgency war.
Right.
They fooled to think that we'll be able to get away with this.
Right.
So, you know, even...
Hold it one second. We'll be right back, y'all, with Steven Zunis after this. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for MPV Engineering. This isn't for all of you, but for high-end contractors specializing in industrial construction and end users who own and operate industrial equipment, MPV offers licensed professional consulting on chemical and mechanical engineering for your projects. Tanks, pressure vessels, piping, heat exchangers, HVAC equipment, chemical reactors for oil companies or manufacturing facilities, as well as project management support and troubleshooting for those implementing designs. MPV will get your industrial project up and running. Head over to mpvengineering.com. This part of the Scott Horton Show is sponsored by Audible.com. And right now, if you go to audibletrial.com/Scott Horton Show, you can get your first audiobook for free. Of course, I'm recommending Michael Swanson's book, The War State, The Cold War Origins of the Military-Industrial Complex and the Power Elite. Maybe you've already bought The War State in paperback, but you just can't find the time to read it. Well, now you can listen while you're out marching around. Get the free audiobook of The War State by Michael Swanson, produced by Listen and Think Audio, at audibletrial.com/Scott Horton Show. All right, you guys, welcome back. We're talking ancient history, man, 2002 with Steven Zunis and Hillary Clinton's decision to climb on board the bandwagon for the invasion of Iraq. And on the first couple of points here, I wanted to ask you about this, Steven. You point out that most Democrats were good on this, and I thought it was just a majority of the Democrats in the House were good, but a majority of the Democrats in the Senate were bad. Am I wrong about that?
I talked about the majority of congressional Democrats.
Right, all together.
Members of the House, sure. And all the Democratic Senate, it's the majority.
Okay.
But yeah, it is
yeah
true.
I just want to be clear on that. But here's the real point, though, is that Hillary Clinton was the wife of the last president. And when she was saying, oh, yeah, everybody knows this is true, that was certainly taken by the right and used in the media. And Bill Clinton, of course, went on David Letterman and said, this is great, and it'll be over in 2 weeks, and it'll be wonderful, Dave, and so everybody ought to get on board. And he made other signals supporting the war. But on the other hand, if she had tried to lead the opposition in the Senate and say, there's just not a case for war here, and I happen to know that my husband bombed the last of the weapons of mass destruction back in 1998 during Operation Desert Fox that he named after Erwin Rommel, the Nazi, then we shouldn't be doing this, and I think that the rest of the Democrats should not vote to do this, and we should support the Levin Amendment that says only if the IAEA and the UN inspectors claim that they're not allowed by Hussein to finish their work first, where she could have done it. She's huge, dude.
Yeah.
She's Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I got to correct you. The MPs are already gone for 1998.
Yeah. I'm just saying. She would have claimed.
Yeah, it would have had an impact. And, she had to have known better. And, you know, this idea that one of the lines, excuses her, followers say is, oh, she just, voted for this to get the inspectors back in. But Iraq had already agreed to have the inspectors return. They're just working out the final modalities. And the, and again, the Levin Amendment would have covered that without giving Bush a blank check. And so, there's really no excuse here for her pro-war vote.
Yeah. The other thing is, and we do have to stop and remind people, and of course there are young people too who, this is ancient history to them, but it's important, and that is that 150 million Americans or more knew better than this war back in 2002. So no one in D.C. has an excuse when they're the ones who have the access to the actual information. The 150 million Americans were just going off the obvious impression that...
And here's this other thing, I and former arms control analyst, other strategic analysts, former UN weapons inspectors all said this stuff about Iraq having all these weapons of mass destruction is baloney. But the thing is, even if they did have weapons of mass destruction, this is the other thing that I keep hearing Clinton Peel say, oh, she thought they had WMDs. Well, guess what? There are over 30 countries in the world right now that have biological weapons, chemical weapons, and/or a nuclear program with weapons capability. They're saying that, oh, we have a right to invade every single one of those countries. And, of course, we have nuclear weapons and still have some chemical weapons, et cetera. Are they saying that some country has a right to invade us?
Right.
I mean, that's another rationalization I really have a hard time with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the best version of that I heard back then was, well, Ronald Reagan gave them all the chemical weapons, so now it's... it's our responsibility to have to go do the right thing and go make sure that none of it's left. When, as you say, of course, it was all destroyed back in 1991. Give us a break, please. But anyway, and then, yeah, you know, what's funny about this, Stephen, of course, is that nobody's been held accountable for this. And I just saw a headline this morning. I forget where. I'm sorry. Where someone says, you know, you can't ignore the fact that the underdog front runner types in both parties right now are getting a lot of support because they oppose this war. It's going unsaid that here, even the Republican base, you know, Donald Trump goes, the Iraq war was stupid. And anybody who was for it, like Hillary Clinton, they're stupid and evil. Well, he's talking about his own base there. And yet they're willing to take that because they're taking it as a promise that he's not going to do that to them again and get their other son killed. You know?
Yep.
Exactly. Meanwhile, and Lindsey Graham is long gone.
He's not crazy enough to send people to war in a place like Iraq.
Yeah. And now, on the other hand, he does contradict himself and say, yeah, we're going to go in there and completely kick their ass and occupy their oil fields forever and stuff like that. So, but anyway, it's just the point being that, you know, where the American people are at on this and where she is, you know. Although I didn't see it, but I read on Twitter last night that one of the questions was, I guess, to Jeb, hey, we're still in two wars that your brother started, and the whole crowd booed. Like, we don't even want to hear that at all. But, anyway, and now, oh yeah, on the supporting Al-Qaeda thing, you have a good thing about that in the article here about how much she should have known better and why.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's ridiculous that there's absolutely no evidence. The Pentagon itself said that there was no evidence. Again, we're talking about very, very different groups. A secular dictator like Saddam, these Salafi fundamentalist Islamist crazies, they were killing each other, you know, and for years. And really, it's funny. I mean, even people who bought the WMD myth, most people who knew anything about Middle Eastern politics knew that that connection was pretty silly. Yet Hillary Clinton was the only Democratic senator who repeated that line about Iraqi ties to Al-Qaeda. I mean, and we trust her to be commander-in-chief? I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you got that right. And now, even on the Iran deal, she almost seemed like she was trying to undermine it before it got a vote in Congress. But in the time between, Obama had shaken hands with him and got his vote. Am I right about that?
Yeah. I mean, her role in this, interesting. I happen to know a couple of people who are in pretty high positions in the Clinton White House. And, you know, it's interesting how historically the National Security Council tends to be a little more hawkish in the State Department. You know, that has to deal with, you know, diplomatic protocol, that kind of thing. But under Obama's first term, it was just the opposite, that the NSC people were largely his appointees, who were, on one hand, very much part of the, you know, foreign policy establishment, but tended to be a little more innovative. They tended to have opposed the Iraq war, you know, a little more less interventionist, with one or two exceptions. But then with Clinton, in return for being Secretary of State, she got to appoint a lot of her own people, which are mostly holdovers from her husband's administration. And so we had the opposite. The State Department was the real hawkish interventionist, to hell with international law, to hell with, you know, getting bogged down somewhere else. And the White House was a little more cautious. The State Department of Clinton was, yeah, let's hold out and support these Arab dictatorships that their people are demanding be brought down. And it was Obama who said, hey, let's let these democratic movements take their course. She's definitely on the hawkish right wing of the Democratic Party.
And what's funny is that's definitely the case in Egypt and in Yemen and Bahrain. But then she took the exact opposite and much worse stance in Libya, which was, don't let events take their course. Go ahead and ally with Al-Qaeda against Gaddafi.
Exactly. And she was really pushing for intervention there. And, you know, what's weird is that I don't frankly think there's much to the various conspiracy theories about the killings in Benghazi, you know, that's Clinton's fault. But what the real scandal is her pushing us to get involved in that war in the first place and helping to create the radical Islamist backlash that eventually led to the killings in Benghazi, and which have been causing a lot more havoc and bloodshed and scary stuff subsequently.
Yeah. And, well, and there are all different kind of accusations out of there, but it does seem telling, doesn't it, that in all the Republican scandal over it, the part they never talk about is the fact that the real worst decision she made, of course, like you're saying, is the war in the first place, but also stationing this guy and the CIA in the middle of a hornet's nest. And what were they doing in the middle of a hornet's nest? They were funneling hornets and guns to Syria to carry out the next phase of the war. And, you know, it's all in Judicial Watch documents and in her emails and all this stuff now about how, you know, she's in her emails talking with her subordinates about the Qatari arms shipments and talking with Sidney Blumenthal about this. And the CIA was overseeing this, if not running the damn thing. And that's what I like about it is, you know, you're right. Like, they have the fake scandal, or I don't know if it's fake, but it seems like that it's overblown about the so-called delay. Like, maybe it was one bureaucrat that said wait, and they try to make it say like Obama deliberately hung those guys out to dry or something like that. But but in the overall case, boy, did he hang them out to dry. I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, yeah. And this is a thing, and I need to leave soon, but just come around close on this thought. You know,
sure.
I've been traveling to the Middle East for over 40 years, and I felt less and less safe as an American each time I had visited. When I first went there as a 16-year-old, I could go to any country in the region and not be afraid about being an American. Think how that's changed. And here's the thing. People like Hillary Clinton and George W. Bush and all those, regardless of party, who support this kind of military intervention, even putting aside the moral and legal arguments, they are making us less and less secure.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks very much, Stephen. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, y'all. That is Stephen Zunis. He teaches at the University, I got it right here, the University of San Francisco, Middle Eastern Studies, and writes for Foreign Policy and Focus. We'll be right back in just a sec. Hey, all, Scott here. If you're like me, you need coffee. Lots of it. And you probably prefer it tastes good, too. Well, let me tell you about Darren's Coffee Company at darrenscoffee.com. Darren Marion is a natural entrepreneur who decided to leave his corporate job and strike out on his own, making great coffee. And Darren's Coffee is now delivering right to your door. Darren gets his beans direct from farmers around the world. All specialty, premium grade, with no filler. Hey, the man just wants everyone to have a chance to taste this great coffee. darrenscoffee.com. Use promo code Scott and you get free shipping. darrenscoffee.com. Hey, all, Scott here. Ever wanted to help support the show and own silver at the same time? Well, a friend of mine, libertarian activist Arlo Pignatti, has invented the alternative currency with the most promise of them all, QR Silver Commodity Discs, the first ever QR code 1-ounce silver pieces. Just scan the back of one with your phone and get the instant spot price. They're perfect for saving or spending at the market. And anyone who donates $100 or more to the Scott Horton Show at scotthorton.org/donate gets one. That's scotthorton.org/donate. And if you'd like to learn and order more, send them a message at commoditydiscs.com or check them out on Facebook at /commoditydiscs. And thanks. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson knows his stuff. He made a killing running his own hedge fund and always gets out of the stock market before the government-generated bubbles pop, which is, by the way, what he's doing right now, selling all his stocks and betting on gold and commodities. Sign up at WallStreetWindow.com and get real-time updates from Mike on all his market moves. It's hard to know how to protect your savings and earn a good return in an economy like this. Mike Swanson can help. Follow along on paper and see for yourself. WallStreetWindow.com.